All reservations are online, so go to EmporiaRec.org for more information. Let the Emporia Recreation Center keep you active for life.
KVOE Live at Local 827, and it is time for our Newsmaker 2 segment as we backtrack here about half a century, 1974. It was June 8th, 1974, that a devastating tornado hit Emporia and a part of the surrounding area. Around 6 p.m. here, it was rated an F4 on then the Fujita Tornado Intensity Scale, and massive damage and destruction at the Emporia Shopping Center, a mobile home park, a nursing home, apartment complex, and residential homes. And we're pleased to be joined by a number of folks that were impacted, obviously, and have memories of this event back in 1974. We'd like to say good morning to Jim Kessler. Jim, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ron. Doing great.
A little better
weather today than it was 50 years ago.
I bet. And also Steve Souter, our radio station owner, is with us. Steve, good morning. How are you? Hello, Steve. Are you there?
Good morning.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Good morning, Steve. And also Ray Toso. Ray, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
Just pretty good.
Let's pull that, see if we can't get that microphone up. Can you pull that up? All right. And we're with
James Whitaker.
James Whitaker. James, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, thanks for coming in. Let's make sure you talk right into that microphone there, James. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, thanks for coming in. You have quite a roll of pictures there.
Yes, my dad was a photographer in Lyon County for 60 years, and we lived just over the hill from the mall, and I was manager at the Flint Hills Theater in the corner, as a lot of people will remember. And my mother was a manager of Evanson's Card Shop that was in the main part of the mall there, and she was at work that evening at 5 minutes till 6 o'clock, and her card shop, of course, was impacted there, and the theater, of course, was open at that time, and we had a section of wall sucked out of the north side of the theater, and one person was injured there. And that was quite an evening.
Yeah, so what do you, were you at work at the time?
Yes.
So what do you recall as this all unfolded?
Well, there was quite a draft in that corner, and there was a whirlwind in that corner. And there was a person trapped in that whirlwind, was going round and round in that corner. And Carla Nelson, the cashier, pushed open the door and caught this person and dragged him inside the lobby of the theater. And I don't know if that broke the vacuum or what, but and made that section of wall blow out in the end of the theater or what. But everything was happening so fast. And she put the money in the safe, and things transpired from there, and the rest of my family come over the hill and took hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and a lot of them have been lost over the years, and just lots of memories.
So were you aware it was a tornado before it actually hits? I mean, were you given any warning?
Oh, no, there was absolutely no warning. That I have had a picture of the initial impact point of that tornado. It was in the ditch on the south side of the Interstate Brands Bakery. It made a spot in that ditch, the first place that it touched, about a 1 foot diameter spot in that ditch, and there's not a crumbly piece of earth, a blade of grass, or anything. It's just bald, naked earth sucked down to the last grain of anything that would move was just totally bald.
So did you, was there, how many people were in the theater at that time, you know?
Oh, Lordy, I don't remember. That was...
There were folks there, though?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, we were running a movie.
Okay.
It was the last matinee movie on weekends. That was a Sunday. We run 1, 3, 5, and then 7 o'clock was the first evening show, and then 9 o'clock was the last evening show. So we were in our last afternoon matinee show. I can't even remember at this time what was the movie that was on.
I was going to ask you if you remember.
No,
James Whitaker.
It wasn't Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. The good guess right there. So the people that were there, you said you had one injury then?
Yes, there was one.
Well, pretty fortunate then, really, all
yes,
things considered.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, nothing fell down in there, but that one wall was just pulled out into the parking lot.
And that was at the, was it the mall called a shopping center? Is that?
It was Flint Hills Theater.
And it was the complex called the mall then, Jim, or a shopping center?
Oh, I think it was still called the mall.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Well, let's bring Jim Kessler in here before we get to Steve Souter and Ray Tosa with us, too. But Jim brought in, you still have the T-shirt you were wearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
that day. And I know I've talked to you about the 74 tornado, I think, in a story we did a number of years ago, I think, for the 30th anniversary of the 1974 Emporia tornado. Tell us about your day. How did this all unfold for you, Jim?
Well, I had just graduated from Emporia State a couple weeks before that and started my job there at Modern Air, and we lived at Four Seasons Apartments. And my wife Kathy and I had been downtown. It had been raining. It seemed like a week or two straight, it seemed. But we were downtown shopping and coming down Prairie, knowing that we needed to get a bottle.
Yes.
For a birthday party, we were going to a club that night. Back then, we didn't have liquor by the drink, so if you wanted to take, you had to take your own bottle. And so I said, oh, gosh, we don't have a bottle for the party tonight. So let's zip over to the liquor store there at the mall and get one. So we pulled in back in the cove there. I had forgotten that the theater was there. I thought the A&P was the whole place, but he reminded me that, yeah, the smaller theater was still there. But anyway, we whipped in there. We should have known something was wrong because the sky was green and blue and water was running up the hill rather than down.
Really? Yeah.
But anyway, okay. I ran into the liquor store, which is where the nail salon is now.
Yeah.
And Kathy ran into the A&P to get something. So no sooner had it got in there, and the lady behind the counter said, oh, no, there's a tornado. So I just ran to the corner. I shouldn't tattle on George Milton. He was in there with me. A big old piece of plywood fell over him, so he didn't even get a scratch.
Ouch.
But I ran to the corner, and it hit. And that plate glass just came crashing in. It was, you know, of course, loud and rainy. The water just kept pouring down. I just stood in the corner with my hands over my head, but the bottles just kept crashing down, breaking over my head. And I remember having to keep blowing out because I thought I was going to drown. It was so much water and booze.
Yeah.
So I just kept blowing out, and after a while, you know, it was over. And I was still there in the corner, and Kathy came running out and said, Jim, you okay? And I said, I think so. But I went to walk, and boom, I went down. Well, the plate glass had cut my Achilles tendon in two.
Ouch.
So I just hopped over, got out of there, and hopped over and was sitting there, and by the MP entrance, and I remember because a piece of tin fell off the roof and wham,
ouch,
hit me in the head as I was sitting there. And a lady had just been to Walgreens, and she bought a nice white chenille bedspread, and she tore that up and wrapped it around my leg because I was bleeding pretty good. And Mike Feeler, my friend, had just happened to be across the street. He didn't know I was over there, but he came running over there, and there I was, and he loaded me into his car, and I was the first one to the hospital. And we got there, and then other people started arriving. And what I remember is the power went out, so they wheeled us out to the patio and started to take care of all of us and started stitching us up. Well, there was, you know, kind of a shortage of doctors to get taken care of everybody. And my dentist, Gary Ace, happened to be there, and he was the one that was stitching me up in the back. I had over 100 stitches in my back, in my head, and we got to the cuts in my head and the they said, well, we're out of painkiller and he said, well, just hang on here. So they just stitched me up without any anesthetic. So but got through there, and they took me into the operating room to try to fix my Achilles tendon, and they tried pulling it down, and I went through the roof, and said, we're going to have to put you out. So about midnight, I went back in there, and they put me back together. But,
wow.
So it was, quite an evening.
Well, you know, six people did die, in this tornado, over 200 injured. And, I was trying to get a hold of Gary Ace to get him on here, because I remember Gary telling the story a number of years ago, how they had to, push him into service. He was a dentist, but they needed anyone. If you're a doctor, go.
Yeah.
So he was working on you then, huh, Jim?
Yep. That was interesting. So we talk about that, to this day. So
I bet.
Yeah, so.
I bet. So, it was always good to talk to Gary about that. So your wife was in the mall, too, but she was...
Right. In the MP, right next to the movie theater, so they made them go back to a room, and storeroom or something, and she came out and then found me. Yeah, so but she wasn't hurt. The MP, I don't know that it really got hit that hard.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, the tornado was farther off to the north edge. AMP wasn't hardly damaged at all.
Yeah, but the liquor store right there was, it was smashed.
Yeah.
And, of course, looking out, across, you could see the Montgomery Ward's automotive. That thing was gone.
Yeah, because it was just such an open area that it just kind of fell down.
Yeah, so...
Well, incredible. Incredible. You lucky to survive that.
Right.
Obviously. And
right. The Quesada Apartments, that were several deaths happened there. It was, right behind.
Yeah, right directly behind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk to Steve Souter. Steve, again, good morning, and thanks for joining us. So how did your day, June 8th, 1974, unfold? What do you recall about that?
Well, Paul and I were living at Four Seasons Apartments. And we were on the ground floor, on the east end of I can't remember the address of the building. And we actually had Clark and Donna Whitford over for dinner, and the electricity went off. And I yelled at my wife, "Is that roast about ready? Let's go ahead and eat." And then all hell broke loose. And we ended up in the hallway. Those apartments are built so that the first floor is halfway down in the ground, and everybody in that building or everybody that was home ended up in the hallway, kind of stacked up. And I think we had one child. And anyway, the tornado blew through, and this older gentleman that lived there said, "Steve, you're the manager. Go look." And so I went up on the east end of the building and looked out. And saw it going through Jones Park and on over towards, and I believe, it's a long time ago, and my memory has probably embellished it quite a bit. But I think I saw trailers at Lincoln Village in the air. I know I saw a lot of crap flying around, and Four Seasons took a pretty good hit. It was crazy. The one story I remember from it that has always been kind of funny involves Ralph Hahn, who was my boss, was the owner of Four Seasons, and it was the next day. And we were cleaning up, the building there on the west side. And we had a pretty good crew, and including about a dozen Mennonites. They'd come, and they'd worked all day, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and here came Ralph in his pickup. And I walked out and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, he had 6 cases of beer in his pickup, and he said, "I bet these guys would like to have a beer." He didn't realize they were all Mennonites. So, anyway, I don't think we had anybody hurt at Four Seasons, but we had a lot of damage, and we didn't. I guess the thing that scared me about as much as anything was that I had a dog, and it was on a It was on a leash or on a leash behind the apartment. And it scared me so much that we gave that dog away because I told my wife, the dog may die in a tornado, but it's not going to be on the end of the leash for me. But,
yeah.
And of course, just all the damage and everything. And, it was quite an evening.
Yeah, this was, around 6 p.m., Jim, then?
Yeah.
You know, I think it is kind of appropriate that Kessler was in the liquor store.
hey, now.
Well, yeah, fortunate. So are there just a couple of people in there then, Jim?
There's, like I said, George Milton and myself. Yeah. Two or three others, they went into the back room. I think Kathy Tidwell was in. She owned the liquor store at the time, and I think she was in there working. And some, they went back in the office area behind the counter, and I don't think they were hurt at all. I think I was the only one that was actually hurt right there. But I feel lucky to be alive today because, I mean, all that plate glass coming in there, a car could have been, you know, smashed right in there. So, yeah, I really do feel lucky that I'm okay.
So it was just basically that the bulk of the damage started right behind there then, really?
Right, yeah. I just came across from, like you said, right across from Dolly Madison, right, hit the Montgomery Ward's automotive and right through there. And of course, it got the mall, you know, the Woolworths all that. It was a deal.
There was a car spinning around inside the mall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There was a car inside the mall that was upside down.
And spinning?
Kind of like a top on its top.
So it kind of blew in then?
Yeah. Okay. It blew in from the west parking lot.
Okay.
About where the Department Motor Vehicles is at, right in there.
Okay. 1974, June 8th, 6 p.m. Boy, F4 on the then Fujita Tornado Skull. That's a big tornado, F4. Damage at that time estimated around $25 million, which is a lot more in today's dollars than it was back then. Let's bring in Ray Toso. Ray, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good, but my story is not quite as exciting as those. I mean,
well, what do you recall about June 8th, 1974?
Well, some good friends of ours, Bill and Susan Wheat, were, and we were going to go to the Royals game that night, but it got rained out, and so they wanted us to come over to their house. And about the time we were ready to leave, I'd loaned my camera to some people, and they brought it back. We were in the basement and on Sunny Slope, and the TV started blinking, and I said, "What's that?" And Beth said, "Well, it must be a tornado." So we went upstairs and looked out the backyard, and it was just black to the northwest. And this one said, "Doyle, give me your keys. I've got to go get Connie." And I thought, holy cow. And we had a siren in right behind the house, but it started to go off and then quit. So went back downstairs. I think I took one step to get there. And then a little bit later, the phone rang, and it said, "Bill and Susan would like you to come help. They're okay, but their house is totally gone." And I thought, wow, I don't know about totally gone. So I called the police department, and they said, "Yes, we need all the help we can get." So drove up there in my pickup, and as I turned the corner, there was the only thing left of their house was the L-shaped kitchen cabinets. And Bill was standing leaning up against that, and he had a bottle of Jack Daniels. And he said, "It's the only damn thing I've got left." You know? So, it was quite a sight. They lived right there on Reese Road, so just right after it gone through the mall and the apartments and the nursing home. So it was we didn't make it, and they just barely made it to the basement. He said that the back door started rattling like someone was knocking, and so they went down the basement. When they got to the bottom step is when their house went. So they were very fortunate. And so I don't want to have to go through that again.
Yeah. So did you notice anything? I mean, when the tornado went through from where you were, Ray? I mean, as far as...
No, it didn't get us. It was to the northwest. We left it just south of 12th on Sunny Slope, so we were quite a ways away from it. But we went back and started, I don't know why, but we took the carpet up that was left on the floor, put it in my pickup, brought it. We were on our way to our house to put it in the garage and store it there, and the sirens went off again, and Elmer Deeker, who was his father-in-law, he just crawled down on the floor of the pickup and said, "Let's go."
Yeah.
So it was a real nasty evening. And
you notice anything about the sky conditions that day? I mean, and Jim was saying,
they were. It had rained all day, and it was got dark and green, and I don't know. I just it was different, and wasn't quite prepared for that. But we were just lucky, I guess.
Yeah. You remember hearing anything, Jim, as far as the sound of this tornado?
Not really. Just a lot of loud crashing. I mean, you know, they say that's a sound of a freight train. Yeah. Well, it was so loud, you know, I didn't really compare it to a freight train. I just compared it to a lot of glass breaking and wind and water. And it was,
pretty intense. I think we had somebody who wanted to share something with us. Hi, you're on KVOA.
Hey, it's Marv Teichman.
Hey, Marv, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I lived in Lincoln Village.
Oh, okay. What do you recall?
Well, I was at my home from summer camp, and I was living in a trailer that I bought from Don Hill, believe that or not, and he said both of his trailer houses got knocked down by tornadoes, so mine was one of them. But anyway, I had my home, Carol's Cooking, on the north side of the trailer, and the windows start blowing in, and she says, "Is that a tornado?" And I looked out, and I seen this great big green cloud to the west. I mean, it was huge. I said, "Drop what you're doing. Let's go." So we're running outside, and half the people in Lincoln Village is heading for the river. The other half was heading for the shelter house. And I said, "Well, I made the decision to go to the shelter house." I just got out of the shower. I had no shoes, no shirt, nothing on. We run up there and went in and sat down. You heard this pop. I got up and looked to the north, and there's nothing. Trash all over the place, and got outside. My first thought when I got outside, where's everybody? I thought the police should have been there by then. And as we was walking down, there's trash all over the place. It almost looked like The Walking Dead. People walking up out of the riverbank, coming down the street and stuff, get to our place, and there's nothing there. I found my shoes and keys and stuff like that. And anyway, it was just totally a mess. There's a lady to the north of us got killed in a trailer, and there's a couple of sisters that lived to the east of us. Them both their kids got killed. Somebody said natural gas broke and smothered them in the trailer. It was just amazing. I mean, just me and Doug White hopped on a motorcycle. I heard about the beer. We was in the guard, so we put on our uniforms and started taking pop to all the security guards and stuff. And I guess thing about it was after it was all done and stuff, Norm DuPont used to work for the Sheriff's Department. He brought a couple more wedding pictures back from north of the river. And after DuPont, campus apartments let people stay there for a while. And we got a room there, and probably about 3 days after everything was cleaned up, got a note of my daughter, her cat, was sitting on her pad at Lincoln Village. Went out, there's nothing around. And here's this cat, and that cat laid on the floor and had this look in his eyes like, "You can't believe where I was at." I did get a check back from 50 miles west of Topeka.
Oh, really?
Some gal found it out in her hayfield. It was happening to check I made for the insurance premium on my trailer house.
How appropriate was that?
Huh? Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of people in Lincoln Village that's moved on. I don't know if you guys remember Tom Higgins. He was out there, and always struck me. He was out there in the field west of our trailer. I looked at him and said, "Tom, what are you looking for?" And he goes, "Everything."
Yeah, there wasn't much left out of Lincoln Village, was there?
No, I had a couple Datsun pickup loads. I stayed at my brother-in-law for a little while. We hung everything up over there, kind of dried out, and people were walking over, going through it like we was having a big garage sale. And but anyway, it, you know, it all worked out, and I think I'd live in the trailer again. Like I said, I always teased Don on never vote for him because he sold me a trailer wouldn't stand up to a tornado. So, but anyway, that was what Lincoln Village is a mess. I sent a couple pictures around that I found on the internet and stuff. If you look at the mall, there's an aerial shot of it. There's just devastation and everything. You know, back in those days, everything to the north and west, all them houses, Holiday Drive, none of that was built in there yet.
Yeah.
But if it would have been built today, there would have just been devastation like you wouldn't have believed. So anyway, a lot of people helped, and afterwards, you know, a lot of people did showers and come to your aid and helped you out, and IBP took good care of us and that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's what was going on in Lincoln Village.
Yeah, well, it's very fortunate that you...
Yes, it was.
That's obviously
I just thank God I was home from summer camp that weekend. I was in Fort Riley, so I just come home for the weekend. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, my wife would probably be in the trailer by herself. So,
yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
Yeah, Lincoln Village. That took a direct hit. I think we have one more call. Hi, you're on KVOE.
Hi, my name is Joanne Parks. And we lived at 1909 Prairie, which is at the entrance of Jones Park. And I was home with my three children, and my oldest son, Terry, the weather was looking weird. It was getting green and everything. And my son went and looked out the back window, and he said, "Mom, a tornado's coming." And we didn't have any warning, but we ran down the basement, and yes, it did sound like a freight train. And it came through. Our house had been built in the 50s. And was a lot sturdier than the houses behind us. Most of them just blew away. And I remember one house on the corner just picked it up and turned it around. But we went outside and to see. My husband had his semi was parked there in the driveway, and a tree fell on it. And then we had, my son was working for the state at that time, and the state car was damaged. We had like four cars that were all damaged. So I was a nurse, and so I walked up to the hospital because we didn't have a car we could drive. So I walked up. I knew there'd be a lot of help needed. And but our supervisor said, "No, Joanne, you go on home, and you can do more good there." As I came out of the house, though, it was so weird because there was a young lady walking up Prairie Street with two little children who were barefoot. And there was live wires all over the street. And I said, "Oh, go back, go back." And she said, "Well, I have a friend at Four Seasons." And I said, "No, no, no. No, go back."
Uh-huh.
And so they did. They turned around and went back. But, yeah, it was quite an event. And... then while we were boarding up all the windows that had been broken, like they said, the tornado sirens then went off that time. They didn't go off the first time. There were no warning that time, first time. But, yeah, the sky was still looking bad. But we didn't have another tornado. That was it. So we were lucky. No one was hurt. And the house two doors next to us, to the north of us, was completely gone. And but we lucked out,
yeah.
And nobody was hurt. Yeah,
so just damage to the house, though, huh?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and the four dogs that were chained up outside, like Steve.
Yeah,
that was sad. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
our one dog would never go in the garage again because it had apparently been in the garage when it hit.
I bet. Well, hey, thanks for calling and sharing. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, thanks. We appreciate you taking some time to give us some thoughts on that. Thank you, Steve. All right, Ray, we appreciate your time this morning.
You bet.
Anytime, Ron.
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right, you too, Rato, so joining us there. And James Whitaker. James, thanks for coming in and sharing those. You got some good photos with you, roll of photos that you got a lot of them.
Yes, and you're quite welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. James Whitaker joining us. Steve Souter, Ray Toso, and Jim Kessler sharing some thoughts on the 1974 Emporia tornado, now 50 years ago, ripping through Emporia, northwest side of town, killing six, injuring 200. I think 10 farmsteads also damaged in rural areas along the path. And of course, a mobile home park, property damage at that time, about $25 million. And that was a track about half mile. I think the Weather Service set up to a half mile wide and a track nearly 38 miles across Lyon, Osage, and Shawnee counties before finally dissipating to the southwest of Auburn. So a big thanks to our guests this morning reliving that. It is 8:59. Good morning.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A new report from the latest.